This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together.
Dr. Campbell Morgan describes the scene that we looked at in our last lesson in the Gospel of Mark with these words: disputing disciples, a distracted father, a demon-possessed boy, and defeated disciples. The whole picture was a dark one until the Lord Jesus ordered the evil spirit out of the boy. He explains to the disciples later that this kind of spirit can only be brought out by prayer. The Lord Jesus was just coming down from the mountain, from a time of prayer and his transfiguration. Now let's open our Bibles and find out what happened next in this interesting Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. Here's Ken Brooks to read these verses.
And from there they went out and began to go through Galilee, and he was unwilling for anyone to know about it, for he was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be delivered up into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise again 3 days later." But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him.
Verse 30 marks the beginning of the Lord Jesus' last journey to Jerusalem. As they begin their trip, he again tells the disciples what is before him. He spells it out very clearly for them. As you read the verses, you cannot see how he could have told them in any plainer language. Mark records that they did not understand, and as we've noticed before, he's quoting probably as Peter recalled it. Why did they not understand? Did they not want to think of him dying? Did they not want to understand the implication? Or were they rather thinking of something else? Probably who should be the greatest of them.
And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. And sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And taking a child, he stood in the midst of them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name is receiving me, and whoever receives me is not receiving me, but him who sent me." Mark 9:33-37.
This is the last mention in this book of Capernaum, and probably this was the Savior's last visit to Peter's home. The disciples had been having a lively discussion as they walked along. Possibly it was a result of the recent mountaintop experience. They were trying to decide which of them was really the greatest. If you remember in chapter 8, immediately after the Lord Jesus told of his rejection and death and resurrection, that Peter rebuked the Lord. Here in chapter 9, the Savior repeated what he had said before, telling about what was before him. But they did not understand. And then they asked for an explanation. And they got into a discussion as to who was the most important among the disciples. And so the Lord Jesus sat down and he gathered the 12 of them. And he began to give them some very important teaching. He said, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." You remember how later the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Here he gives the added object lesson of a little child. Looking at that little child must have been a rebuke to these disciples. Here was a trustful child, not self-conscious, not self-confident. These same qualities were desirable as far as disciples were concerned. Men who trusted him fully, men who were willing to take the lowly place, men who found their sufficiency in the Lord Jesus. Now Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 42.
John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to hinder him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who shall perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea."
If we were to judge the Apostle John by this one spontaneous remark, and this is the only one recorded in the four Gospels, we would not have a true picture of him. We're not just sure what he had in mind. I have an idea that John's motive was right, because the Lord Jesus does not really rebuke him. The Savior does explain the attitude that we should have toward others who serve the Lord but may not be in our inner circle. Harold St. John comments, "The Lord's reply is definite. Christ has never entrusted a monopoly of his truth to any distinctive circle of fellowship formed by his followers. No body of Christians can claim to be the sole guardian of the historic faith." The Lord Jesus goes on to encourage the cup of cold water that should be given. He also warns against those who cause others to stumble. When the Lord talks about offending, he uses the idea of a movable stick or a trigger of a trap that was placed in the way of a person to make them stumble. He tells them that this is serious, saying it would be better to have a millstone hung around a person's neck and be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Was he still thinking about the little child that he had placed in the midst? There were two kinds of mills in that day. One was the kind that was used in the home, a hand mill, often used by the wife. But the other kind was large, and it took a donkey to turn it. In that day, both in Rome and in Palestine, a way of execution was to tie one of those large millstones around a person's neck and cast him into the sea. Josephus tells us of some Galileans who were executed in that way. And the Lord Jesus was probably giving this teaching in Peter's home there in Galilee. Well, what about today's lesson? Is it needed today? You know it is. You know how many of us want to be the greatest. This is probably one of the biggest hindrances to the work of the Lord. We want to have the highest place. But the highest place should be reserved for the Lord Jesus. He must have the preeminence. Our place is to be just servants. Let's take a warning from this chapter. Let's listen to the Lord's words. Let's find out what his goals are and not be concerned over this matter of greatness. He's the greatest one. Let's give all the glory to him and take our place as his servants.
Trying. Savior.